You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, and welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, joined not only by Spike Friedman, but we are joined by Mike B. from Tasteful Profanity, Beast Prode Production. Mike, this is your first time on Locked On Seahawks. How, in Pete Carroll terms, how jacked are you to be on the show today?
I am fired up, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, there's no concerns of you retiring, right, Spike? Even with your old age?
Me? Oh, I am significantly older than both people on the podcast today. For those of you listening at home, I'm the only person who was alive. I was going to say when 9/11 happened. That's wrong. When 9/11, when 9/11/94 happened, I think I was the only one alive.
This is true.
Yeah, great. That's factually correct.
Never forget September 11th, 1994, when probably a baseball strike was happening, maybe. Or no, was that the name? I don't know.
Neither of us do either because we weren't alive. But
great. Good content. All right.
Today's show is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get up to a 50% bonus on your first deposit. And we'll talk about that a little later. But so we brought Mike onto the show because I reached out to him. He agreed to be on the show. But I knew that he'd have takes, and he even told me he has takes. And so we're going to let him cook a little bit. But first, before we get into Mike's hot takes, we'll run down a few quick items of news. The Seahawks brought in Jason Myers and Jocelyn Fowler and signed them to futures contracts. I would not
New punter, new kicker, maybe. We did it, folks. We survived.
Sirens.
Yeah. Yeah, if I was a better editor, I'd have that in right now. But I would
bring it on.
I wouldn't put too much into them bringing in Jason Myers on a future contract. He's kind of terrible as a kicker.
He's at his job.
And he's not great. I like the idea of having a fullback kind of on the roster potentially. I think that the run game needs all the help we can get, and we are sure to talk about the run game. The last bit of news, we talked about this on the last show. Chris Richard has scheduled his interview with the Indianapolis Colts for Friday, and we went over some names that we could see potentially replace him in Seattle if he leaves. But you'll have to go into yesterday's show to hear them. I'm pretty sure those names will be brought up again.
We will not repeat any of them ever again.
Yeah, so
because there's no way the Colts signed Chris Richard. Like, there's no way. It's crazy talk, people. Come on.
Yeah, but there's even a wild card name. So this is me just bumping yesterday's episode just so you can find out which name Spike brought up for the defensive coordinator position.
Yeah. Also, there was a huge twist at the end of yesterday's episode. Big cliffhanger. That we've already resolved, if you know what happened. That's not true. I am lying.
This is not good content. We had good content earlier. This is not. But so Mike's chomping at the bit to kind of get to his hot takes. We're going to start with the coordinators. Mike, what do you have to say about them? I think it's all of them, correct?
Yes, I have takes about the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, and the run game coordinator. So
I want to be clear before you start. You don't have any special teams coordinator takes.
Oh, Brian Schneider should be gone. I don't consider that a hot take. No, I think that I might have a hot take about the team coordinator too, aka the head coach. first off, let's start with the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't really say I'm a coordinator hiring and firing. I wouldn't say I'm aware of the history behind a lot of that many years back, but I would say that I haven't really heard of position coaches, like a defensive backs coach, which is what Chris Richard was, being promoted to defensive coordinator and then being demoted back to defensive backs coach but I would not be too pissed off about that if Dan Quinn one-ups his 2016 performance and blows a 26-point lead in the Super Bowl, and the Falcons surprisingly fire him. Seahawks bring him back as a defensive coordinator, and then you put Chris Richard back down as defensive backs coach. Who says no?
Well, I mean, I imagine Dan Quinn says no.
Chris Richard,
but
too.
I like. I think literally everybody says no.
He's conversing with Jim Irsay this week. His opinion doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah, that's true. I was about to say a lot of things that I'm not going to say about Jim Irsay. Level-headed guy.
Yeah. Great. That's. Great. I'm not going to get into that.
I'm surprised you went Dan Quinn over Gus Bradley for the guy to bring back to demote Chris Richard in favor of. But
is Gus Bradley one of the most overrated coaches in football? I feel like he has.
I mean, head coaches, but as a coordinator, he's pretty fine, I'd say.
He's fine. Like, people are looking at him as a defensive messiah at times. I think that he's fine. I think he's overrated as a coach. I love you, Gus. I love watching you send Winston Guy on blitzes in the fourth quarter against Atlanta in the divisional game. That was fun.
Oh man, never yet, I guess.
I mean, certainly Mike didn't. Go ahead.
I mean, we won the Super Bowl the next year. It's fine. Keep moving. I like these takes. They're
right,
hotter
than
normal.
We'll move on to, how about the offensive coordinator? You got a hotter take?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm 100% invested in this take, but I'm going to say it anyways. I would rather. Oh, I'm going to get real for this. I would rather the Seahawks fire Pete Carroll and promote Tom Cable to head coach than I would them fire Daryl Bevel and promote Tom Cable to offensive coordinator.
What? Oh my god. All right, so first of all, why? Show your work a little.
Okay. I think that is quite the outrageous take, and I don't think I'm super invested in it, but I think the backbone of it is that I think that Tom Cable would be a better head coach than a coordinator, significantly so.
I think I would rather... Based on his great, 17-27 career record as a head coach?
He's not doing so well as a run game coordinator right now, but I don't know. It's all about eye tests, Spike.
Man, he does test my eyes when I look at his face. Mm-hmm. He's 11-35 as a college head coach, 17-27 as a pro head coach. So, oof. Here's why I'm going to agree with you, Mike, is that football is barbaric at the highest level, and there's a part of me that wants to be freed of my fandom of it. And so if they promote Tom Cable to head coach, I'm out. I get out. I'm out clean. This was my one last score, and I am out. Whereas if they promote him to offensive coordinator and then do everything else right, I'm just confused and angry, and I'm not out. My hands are dirty. They're covered in blood. So... Oh boy, Tom Cable is dreadful. We gotta get
He's horrible. What? He's horrible.
Well, neither of your choices firing him?
The other thing I was gonna get to is the other pillar that this foundation of this take is built on is I want the Seahawks to fire Tom Cable and keep Daryl Bevel as offensive coordinator.
I think we kind of agreed with that on an earlier show this week that Daryl Bevel isn't really like the root of all of Seahawks' problems, and even just having Tom Cable with the team in any capacity is just such a terrible look, and especially with the on-field product. Like, Daryl Bevel's, I mean, like, compared to Tom Cable, is the least of our worries.
Yeah, I got no problem if they retain Daryl Bevel. I mean, you look at what he did this year, and there were, obviously, the play calling was inconsistent, the offensive performance was inconsistent, but if you break out what Tom Cable is responsible for, which is the run game and offensive line, and what Daryl Bevel is responsible for, which is the pass game and quarterback, like one of those was like a little above average, and one of those was dreadful. And so, yeah, fire the one who did the dreadful thing and keep the guy who did the somewhat above average thing. I'm fine with that. That's fine. That's Yeah, yeah, why not?
The sample size has gotten too big at this point. He is supposed to be an expert at coordinating a run game, which is why he is the run game coordinator. And the run game has been atrocious for multiple years now. They had an elite running back, hence an elite rushing attack for multiple years, and they had good offensive linemen that they drafted under Scott McLuhan and signed in free agency, whatever. I won't get into the Paul McQuist and things, but they have invested so much in the offensive line, and he has done, insert tasteful profanity here, with it.
Yeah.
And he needs to go. He really does. And I think that the trendy thing to say over the past however many years has been fire Bebel or fire Cable, trademark Amazon. But I really think it is time to part ways with Mr. Thomas. Is yeah. Tom short for Thomas? I hope so.
Probably. Here, we can get his full name. Thomas Lee Cable Jr. Mm. So don't fire Thomas Lee Cable Sr.
There's multiple Cables, actually.
Who would you rather have coordinating the Seahawks run game? Tom Lee Cable Jr. or Tom Lee Cable Sr.?
Well, I mean, we've seen how it is with Tom Lee Cable Jr., so why not give it a shot with Sr.?
Where do you think he learned it from, though?
Exactly. Yeah, the apple is falling from a rotten tree, one can only assume. I mean, they have to get rid of it. And beyond that, the fact that it is 2018, and we have, and I went on a rant about this on Monday, but it's the workplace harassment and the personal domestic abuse stuff. Like, we can't ignore that anymore. The Seahawks have said it is a red line for them. They drafted Frank Clark anyway. If they retain Tom Cable, even in spite of a bad performance, if they start making excuses for him, which is what they've done, it's already too late. It's already disgraceful by an otherwise not disgraceful organization. It's already too late. They have to do this. They have to.
For everything they do in the community and in activism, and even the owner, Paul Allen, even supports the players protesting and raising awareness for social injustices. And, you know, that's great and that's progressive and we want them to do that. But it's kind of, I wouldn't say for nothing, because they're making great, they're doing great work. But, like, at the same time, Tom frickin' Cable is on is on your roster. And I almost had to bleep myself out, but, like, it's ridiculous because, like, the organization's so progressive, and yet, you know, being in 2018, and we see, you know, people's lives uprooted for stuff that they've done, stuff similar to Tom Cable, worse or, you know, not as bad, and we still see him employed, and at least for the foreseeable future, he's going to be with the team. And that's just unacceptable.
The two things I came on this podcast to talk about with Spike specifically are modern day 2017-2018 politics and the Seahawks. The two things that bring him the most joy in the world.
Oh yeah, they're great. Those are two great things. You know what? You know what I like more than anything else, guys?
And I bet it's great too.
It's gambling. Guys. I love to gamble. That's not totally true. I don't like to lose. I'm not a gambling addict. Again, we've talked about this on the podcast before. If you are a gambling addict, please don't use our sponsors' products. But if you are not a gambling addict and you just like having fun, go to mybookie.ag maybe.
What?
Bet on some games.
Yep.
Make some money. You lost a lot of money over the holidays, spending money. It on travel, children, friends, food. Now's the time to make it back by picking playoff games. It's playoff time. This is the round where there is easy money to be made, the wild card round. You've got some weird, fun matchups, and you can exploit the fact that Vegas is not going to set a double-digit point line in a playoff game.
Playoffs?
Get out there. We're talking about the playoffs.
Playoffs?
We are talking about the playoffs.
Look at this. Kareem Hunt on the front page of this website.
Yeah, man. We Amazing. Love Kareem Hunt. We're going to talk about running game after this, but right now we're going to talk about, let's pick that game. Kansas City, 9-point favorites at home against Tennessee. That's actually a tricky line. Who you got, Grant?
Ooh, I just don't trust them as 9-point favorites. That's kind of ridiculous. So I don't pick them to, I'm not going to pick them to cover.
You're taking the Titans with the points. Mike, who you taking? 9 points. You got 9 points.
Chiefs.
Chiefs! I am also taking the Chiefs. Tennessee's really bad. They're like 23rd in DVOA. They should not. They're the first team in the playoffs.
So this had my pick had an asterisk on it because something's going to happen to Mike Mularkey to where he can't call the plays, or whoever their offensive coordinator is that's been terrible this year can't call the plays, and it all falls on Marcus Mariota, football genius and future MVP of the league, and he's gonna lead them to at least not lose by 9. Yeah. I'm very confident in saying that Marcus Mariota has the capacity not to lose by over 9 points.
The only way that the Titans cover is if Mike Mularkey reveals that he's actually Jeff Fisher and they execute another Music City miracle to make the score 7-9.
Yeah. I mean, man, it's crazy to think that the last time the Bills played a playoff game, it was the Music City Miracle game that they lost. So let's pick the Bills game. Also, 9-point underdogs in Jacksonville. I'm really bummed that there are no outdoor East Coast games this week. I mean, Jacksonville is outdoor on the East Coast. It's going to be way colder than normal there. But I wish this game were in Buffalo where it's going to be negative 20 on Saturday.
Snow games.
Well, it's not even snow. It's just ice nightmare. but it's not there. It's going to be in a very cold, by Jacksonville standards, but like probably 30, 40 degrees stadium. Jacksonville, who you got? 9 points.
I'm gonna defer to Mike right now because I'm still thinking about this.
The Jags are 9-point favorites. Say the Bills because Shady's playing, right? They announced today that Shady was going to play.
Yep.
Yeah, Bills.
I'm also taking the Bills. I don't trust Blake Bortles getting 9 points. Like, jeez. Or giving 9 points.
Right.
He could give away 9 points. I he had 3 good throws against the Seahawks. I don't believe in Blake Bortles.
He's going to throw 9 pick sixes, if anything.
Tre'Davious White's going to lead Buffalo to the first playoff win in I don't know how many years.
Oh, my God. It did just occur to me. If Tyrod gets hurt and we end up with Peterman versus
Jacksonville. What if he falls out? What if Nathan Peterman balls out in the absence of an injured Tyrod Taylor and they win the Super Bowl?
It will not happen. I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to even debate it.
What do you think's more likely, Nathan Peterman winning a Super Bowl or the Seahawks firing Tom Cable? Very unlikely.
No,
the Seahawks
Tom, maybe Tom Cable, fire Tom I guess. Cable.
I've got hope. I still think it's 50-50. All right, well, this is great. Go to mybookie.ag. What's the promo code, Grant?
The promo code's Locked On. So if you enter that promo code on the website, on your first time on the website, you can get up to a 50% bonus on your first deposit. So take advantage of that. And we'll be watching the Bills and Jags closely to make sure if Nathan Peterman does get in and eventually leads them to the Super Bowl, we're gonna be leading the charge for a Nathan Peterman 30 for 30 by ESPN.
Of course.
Yeah, they're contractually obligated to do a whole special on Nathan Peterman if they make the Super Bowl and win it.
And it's so in the CBA, right?
It's written in like I think a bunch of clauses in the contract. Like there's multiple, like they had to revise it to make sure there was multiple times where they had to see that they had to make a Nathan Peterman 30 for 30. And so we're getting way off track, and
we're gonna
take a break and reel ourselves in. We'll get back to you with more Locked On Seahawks after this.
We are back, Locked On Seahawks. Spike Friedman alongside Grant Goldberg. You can find us both on Twitter at Spike Friedman, at Grant Goldberg. We've got Mike from Beast Pod with us. Mike, your handle is Seahawks Scout, correct?
This is correct. On the Twitter.com, the cesspool of Twitter.com.
It is a nightmare. Don't join Twitter. Don't do it. But if you're already on there, you should follow all three of us. My God. You're listening to a Seahawks podcast. You might as well. Mike, it's time to talk about the worst of the units that the Seahawks had this year. It's the running back position. Let's talk about how you fix a problem like Seahawks running back in the post-Marshawn era. What do you do, Mike? What are your moves this offseason to get that position back on track?
After the departure of Marshawn Lynch, I would say you have to draft a running back like Alex Collins in the 5th round out of Arkansas, wouldn't you?
Right.
It seems like the obvious choice.
I mean, look, guy was, 6th in DVOA among running backs this year?
Yeah, he was 6th. I don't know.
There aren't many solutions.
Yeah.
Like, I really thought you'd be ready to go with this.
Well, I am somewhere in the middle on the whole running back debate. Like, I don't think that choosing running backs in the first round is a good idea by any means. But, like, if the Seahawks lucked into Saquon Barkley at 18, I wouldn't be too mad. But I would prefer them to trade down and then pick somebody up, like, to the level of Kareem Hunt or Alvin Kamara in the second round. Like, I'm totally fine with the Seahawks drafting somebody in the second round. That is, of course, if they have a second round pick. But I really don't know, because there is, I mean, by the numbers, there's not that much difference between yards per attempt and success rate between, say, Ezekiel Elliott or Rod Smith and Alfred Morris. But there is, you can't tell me that those guys are better than Ezekiel Elliott. And with the game on the line, I would rather have Ezekiel Elliott, obviously. But I would never draft him with the number 4 overall pick, because Jerry's going to Jerry and the Cowboys are going to Cowboy, and I'm off track, but
no, I strongly agree. I think that this is the year to go in and get someone in that second, third round range, which ideally you're doing by trading back in the first round. We saw today that Sam Darnold is going to be in the draft, which puts 5 potential first-round quarterbacks, if you count. That might count Josh Allen, who...
Didn't Lamar Jackson announce he's going back to school?
Did he? Maybe. He said that he was inclined to. I saw somebody Darnold, said though. That. I don't remember the source. I hardly remember the source.
Yeah, someone said it for Darnold, too. We don't know on Jackson yet. The point is that there are a lot of first-round quarterbacks this year. And if one of them slides into that range where we're picking at 18 and a team wants to move up from early second, late first, a team maybe looking at the future like the Patriots, like the Saints, you know, great. Like, come and get him. Give us that extra second rounder. You know, if we can trade back 8 slots and pick up a late second rounder, that's the sort of space where I want to be picking a running back.
I would be thrilled for the Broncos to try to trade up for the next Paxton Lynch.
Oh, well, trade up from where? Where are they picking?
Somewhere really high in the second.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, yeah, if for whatever reason they don't love... Yeah, God, isn't Josh Allen just the perfect John Elway quarterback?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, John Elway and Josh Allen are, like, the match made in heaven. Oh, my
gosh. Yeah, give us their second, their third, their second next year, or first next... Yeah, they could do something crazy. That'd be great. I love that. And I love the idea of getting a really good, but not, we don't need to invest that highly. I mean, like, look, if you have Ezekiel Elliott, like, you're still, like, that's not where you want to be. You want to have Jalen Ramsey right now. Which of those teams is happier with that pick? I think, and then when you look at the veteran market, obviously Eddie Lacy didn't work out. But the other problem is the whole run game situation is a nightmare. We need to get rid of Tom Cable. Like, that's, because I'm like, oh, who knows? Maybe Eddie Lacy has something in the tank.
Right.
I doubt it. But we don't know.
Thomas Rawls, like, I'm weary of investing high draft capital in a running back when the Seahawks offensive line and run game coordinator situation is like it is. Because, you know, how are we supposed to properly evaluate the talent that we have running behind it? It's really hard to gauge, in my mind.
The problem with specifically the Seahawks investing a very high draft pick in a running back is that they've shown such an aptitude for finding talented running backs in the later rounds or undrafted free agency. Yeah. You got Chris Carson this year. You got Thomas Rawls and Rod Smith in 2015. You got Alex Collins in 2016. CJ Procise, as injury prone as he is a very talented running back.
Very talented and very frustrating. And I just wish he'd stay healthy, because I think it'd make it a lot easier on Russell Wilson.
But he's a third rounder, and he's exactly the sort of caliber of talent we should be, if we are going to spend a higher pick, that's exactly what we could use, is a really, really good guy, kind of like CJ Procise. So on the other side of the equation, I feel like we are, between Procise and McKissick, we've got that pass catching third down back, between one of them ideally being healthy next year. And then you go for the other side of that, you get that first second down back, you know, and you end up in good shape. You want, I mean, I don't know if Nick Chubb is going to slide. I have no idea who's going to slide, but you want that sort of like bruising running back, a young Eddie Lacy, if you will. Eddie Lacy, for all the joking about him, for his first couple of years, was great. And you know, he was a second rounder picked right around when we picked Christian Michael back in 2013. And he's exactly the sort of guy that we would use for 3 years, run into the ground and then let go away. Perfect. Love it. Live that life. Let's do this, Seahawks. Right, be heroes.
Let's draft another Spencer Ware in the sixth round.
Over that!
I'm pretty sure that Spike is advocating for the Seahawks to re-sign Eddie Lacy. That's what I'm taking from this.
Oh, God.
You know what? Paul Allen has enough money to go back in time to poach like the actual good Eddie Lacy from the Packers. So we need to start investing in that rather than paying Tom Cable with another contract.
Mm-hmm. Paul Allen has enough money to change the laws of physics, and I don't know why he hasn't done that yet. I don't know why he'd do it. I don't know what that would do for the Seahawks.
He should invest in a roof.
Yeah.
Invest in a roof. Your quarterback wins when it doesn't rain, when water doesn't touch his essence. Invest in a roof, Paul.
Honestly, they could just get a big tarp.
Yeah, that's the tent.
You know what?
A large garbage bag that you can just duct tape around the stadium.
It'd create like a sort of drum effect to really like go with the crowd noise. And yeah. I think it'd be a pretty cool environment.
Yeah, oh, man, guys, it's the official position of Locked On Seahawks and Beast Pod, the TARP 2018.
This is something that we thought of organically. We're claiming this right now. So if anybody gets the TARP idea, you know, they have to pay homage to us. They have to like actually link the show in to whatever tweet they send.
Yeah. Dear Paul Allen, link the show for once in your dumb life.
Okay, we're gonna take a break and we'll get back with the rest of the show and hopefully maybe more or less nonsense. You'll have to listen to find out. We are back with more Locked On Seahawks. We are still fired up. We had a debate off air, and it was about us guessing when something happened, and I nailed it. And something that a position group wasn't able to nail is the kickers. Blair Walsh nailed next to nothing, and so the Seahawks are obviously going to move on from him. And they've brought in a kicker to sign on a futures contract, and that kicker is Jason Myers, who is not known to nail his field goals past 50 yards, which was a huge problem for Seattle this year, and will be if they do not bring in anybody else. Spike, Mike, do you have any takes right off the top of your head about Jason Myers or the Seahawks kicking game in total?
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah.
I'm raising my hand like very viscerally right now. Blair Walsh is going to be the Seahawks kicker in 2018.
Whoa! Why? Yeah. Why?
Because we can't have nice things, Spike.
Wait, I can boot people from the call, right?
Why? Okay. Oh, that's crazy. I don't think that that's true.
I probably don't either.
We clearly live in hell world, and so it's definitely possible that we bring back Blair Walsh. I think that Jason Myers signing is a good thing. That's my hot take.
I agree. I think it's a good thing.
We need competition.
Yes. I think that if there is a world that Blair Walsh is going to be the kicker next year, he's going to beat somebody out in training camp. I don't think they're going to just cut Blair Walsh out of the blue. I think that he's going to be around in training camp next year because, I mean, he was a Pro Bowler when he was a rookie, right? In 2012?
That was a long time ago.
Wait,
man.
But they'd have to re-sign Blair Walsh for him to be in training camp. So,
oh, that's true. They would have to re-sign him again. So,
running for president the last time Blair Walsh was a Pro Bowler. That was a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he'll be their kicker in 2018, but I also think he'll be their kicker in 2018. So that's my stance on the issue.
So here's my stance is that Blair Walsh will not be the kicker. He will not be invited to training camp. Pete Carroll will at some point stab him on the side of the, the side of the road at some point and then go, "Woo, Pete Carroll!" Because he's Pete Carroll and that's the sort of thing he'd do. Pete Carroll knows where the bodies are buried because he buried them himself. So let me just say, Jason Myers is a good signing because to me what it portends is the use of a seventh round pick or a lot of UDFA money on a kicker. And I think we're going to be able to bring in one of the top two, top three best kicking prospects this draft, maybe even two of them, and really get a kicking competition going with Jason Myers as the backstop. Jason Myers being less good than a Blair Walsh, he isn't going to, you know, we're paying him nothing, so we aren't making any commitment to him that prevents us from putting other resources towards the kicking position, which I think is good. I think it's time to go get a real young, good kicker. Why not? Why not? And we saw this year that a lot of teams did that to good effect. You see Jake Elliott, you see Bucker, you see guys, and even though they were guys who moved around, young kickers did well this year. So did very old kickers. Middle-aged kickers, with the exception of Steven Hauschka, RIP, come back. Please come back, Steven. Didn't do great. And we can't afford a Steven Hauschka. We can't afford a Vinatieri with our cap situation. So the only smart answer is to go young and also bring in Jason Myers, just in case the young guy we get turns into a Aguayo.
We saw kickers like Matt Bryant and Phil Dawson like totally go off in week 17. And so like that's like... like, they can be old as heck, and then you can bring them in, they could have success. So, like, they should just cast the widest net. And so that brings me to my next point.
Before we move on, can I just say, I hate both of their faces. Like, cool. I know that it's partly because they just beat us, but, like, Phil Dawson and Matt Bryant both look mean. They look like jerks. I don't like either of them.
Well, I wasn't even going to move on. I was saying that I'm going to cut this podcast short, and I'm going to go practice my field goals right now, because I might have a shot.
Oh, I already accepted an invite to training camp. Get out of here. Oh.
Well, okay, but, like, it's easier for you, because you're in the area, right? I have to, like, fly 2.5 hours to Seattle. And the drive, I don't even know how long it is from SeaTac to Renton. But best believe I'm coming for that kicking position in 2018.
Yeah, I think that has there been another team in the NFL with more high-profile kicking woes than the Seahawks in 2017?
In 2017? I mean, the Chargers.
The Chargers, with Young Ho. Shout out to Young Ho.
Because of that. Yeah. The Jags actually lost a couple games because of Jason Myers early on in the season. And then, yeah, the Seahawks are in the running, definitely, because, you know, that Washington game, obviously. The Atlanta game, you know, it knocked them out of the game, literally.
It's just us and the Chargers. We're the two.
Yeah.
The Giants had kicking woes, but who cares? I just wanted to talk a little more about how much I hate Phil Dawson for a second. If that's okay with you guys?
Yeah.
Okay, so,
Cook.
So he was born in West Palm Beach, Florida. Already disgusting. Grew up in Dallas, Texas. Get out of here. Then let's look at the teams he played for. He played for the Raiders. Ugh, worst. Patriots. Ugh, garbage. The Browns. Okay, that just made him reek of trash forever. Then we remember him, of course, with the 49ers. Ugh, hate them. They're miserable. That was a terrible time. And now he's with the Cardinals. He's a Bruce Arians guy. God, what a monster. I hate Phil Dawson. It makes me so mad. I'm like looking at a picture of his face and it's making me furious. Just like looking at Phil Dawson is basically my like 1984, however many minutes of hate that it. Just like if you just projected Phil Dawson at my face for long enough, I would lose my mind. I hate him. I hate Phil Dawson. Thank you guys.
Would you welcome Phil Dawson to the Seahawks if it meant that Tom Cable would be fired?
Please, you bastard.
Phil Dawson is my favorite person on the earth. God.
My guy, Phil.
Phil, nice to see ya.
Oh, God.
Phil Dawson walks into the room with, like, a bunch of rookies, and he is the living embodiment of, how do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah. I mean, he just looks like a monster. Yeah, I mean, we don't have any evidence that Phil Dawson is actually a monster, aside from... Well, let me just make sure that's true.
From what we see on the surface, we can't tell, but, like... What we see on the surface, he's a monster, but, you know, we don't know if there's anything underlying. Side note, and related to the kicking game, friend of the show and Locked On Lakers host, Anthony Irwin, we had a gift exchange at LakersOutsiders.com, and he got me a shirt... a purple shirt that says Blair effing Walsh, and I use the substitute word for that. And I just like to thank him for the greatest gift of all time, because it encapsulates my feelings towards Blair Walsh, and I can wear that proudly wherever I go.
All right. Well, we're at like 39. We got to wrap this up. Mike, we got to do a quick, what is your hottest take on your dome right now? Seahawks related, non-Seahawks related, whatever you want. Here is your chance to say it to a very slightly different podcast audience than you normally talk to on Tasteful Profanity, which everyone should follow them on Twitter at BeastPod. It's a great podcast. I've been on it. They made me wait an hour to record. It was really lovely.
I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah,
technical never difficulties.
Forget. I will forgive, but I will never forget. But Mike, what is your? We became close. What is your hottest take on your dome right now?
Okay, I just came up with this right now, and I'm very confident in it right now.
Right now.
Okay. Yes, right now. Just right now. I'm living in the moment. So, 2010 through 2012, Scott McLuhan was a very important factor in the Seahawks front office and led to arguably one of the greatest three-year runs in NFL draft history, drafting multiple Pro Bowlers and All-Pros and a franchise quarterback, franchise safeties, franchise cornerback, all of the above. My take!
Mm-hmm.
The Seattle Seahawks should bring in Andy Benoit in the McLuhan role and trade Russell Wilson for Matthew Stafford to find out who the better quarterback truly is.
All in
on this take. I'm fired up about this take.
If anybody ever brought Andy Benoit into a front office role, I think you just have to fold the NFL as is.
Oh, God. I did on Beast Pode say I don't hate Andy Benoit, and it's a regret. It's one of my biggest regrets of 2017.
Wait, all right. Let's clear this up. Is it Benoit or Benoit?
It is Benoit, and I know that because the reason I don't hate him is because after Grantland dissolved Robert Mays and Bill Barnwell went their separate ways for a while. Robert Mays, before he was on The Ringer, was at MMQB and did a podcast with Benoit where it was sort of a... I like Robert Mays enough that it made the glow of him extended to Andy Benoit for a while before I started paying attention to what was actually happening. I have a lot of regrets and I apologize for them. But gee whiz, man, that recent piece he did on Russell Wilson was beyond the worst. All right. Well, that was a great hot take to end the show on. This has been Locked On Seahawks. Today was brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Bet on some games this weekend if you're not a gambling addict. Do it, people. Oh, my God. Gambling's so fun. It's so easy. You get the app. You can use the website. We gave you the great picks. You got the picks you need. Go make some money.
If it goes and south, too, there's live in-game betting. Also, that's what we forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Live in-game betting. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Subscribe. We got another 5-star rating, but not a review. We will say something nice about you if you leave us a review, probably. We've done that for almost everybody so far because we're nice guys like that. Follow us on Twitter. Mike, follow Mike on Twitter. Read his stuff at Field Goals. Listen to Tasteful Profanity. Do it all. Get it all done with Mike. He's great. Do we got anything else, Grant?
I don't think we have anything else but to thank Mike for coming on the show and really, really just livening up with these hot takes. I think we're all very warm today because of it. I think that it's not helping the global warming that we mentioned on the last show. But
I'm glad we could get zesty today, boys.
I think this is a new review that I'm seeing right now, but we appreciated some, so we read them live on air. And this person says they listen to 10 or so podcasts, and this is among their top three favorites. And so we have, in their opinion, great depth of knowledge, opinionated in a good way, and they enjoy listening to both guys. And so if you feel the same way, if we're a top three podcast in your opinion, why don't you express it to us in form of...
Is it top three or top two or three?
Among their top three. So we could be number one. It's among.
Okay. And that's out of 10. That's basically saying we're the Russell Wilson of their podcast because we're somewhere between one and, if you multiply it out, nine. We're somewhere in that range on any given week. So we're basically the Russell Wilson of podcasts. So
now that we said that, Russell Wilson. I mean, at least among at least among Seahawks circles on Twitter, unless you're David Sue.
Sue. Nope, we're not down there. All right.
Okay, we'll wrap it up. For Locked On Seahawks, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.